Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Because of the current state of our culture and society, many Christians have become desensitized to the sexually explicit content in so much of our media. There is an alluring magnetism that draws us in, and practically everything has got some form of immoral edge to it. Our sports, our advertisements, our games, our movies, our magazines and books, and especially our internet. It seems to innately breed immorality. So, for those who are professing Christians in the midst of these things, only two things can result. First, we can get used to it. We can enjoy it. We can allow it to carry our thought life into lustful fantasy, or we can determine to fight against its influence in our lives so that we can become blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of this perverse generation. Those are the only two possible outcomes. Stay with us as we continue to take a close look at the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Because of the current state of our culture and society, many Christians have become very desensitized to the sexually explicit content in most of our media. There is an alluring magnetism that draws us in, and practically everything has got some form of immoral edge to it. Our sports, our advertisements, our games, our movies, our magazines and books, and especially our internet. In fact, we have to work very hard to be on the internet without being inundated by very explicit sexual content. It seems to innately breed immorality. So, for those who are professing Christians in the midst of these things, only two things can result. First, we can get used to it, we can enjoy it, we can allow it to carry our thought life into lustful fantasy, or we can determine to fight against its influence in our lives so that we become blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of this perverse generation. Those are the only two possible outcomes. So we need to decide which way is going to go for us. We can do nothing and be swept along in the immoral tide, or we can grab hold of God's hand and God's word and hang on for dear life. As we covered last week, there's no longer any room for the, quote, decent person. There are really no more good people in decent neighborhoods anymore. That ground has dissolved underneath us. So intense is the flood of immorality that there are no more normal people by the definition of 50 years ago. There are only those who are caught up in the wickedness or those who are fighting hard against it, who desire to be pure in heart. Now, pure in heart is what we're talking about today. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word is as strong and clear today as it ever was, and it has not changed one iota since it was uttered by our blessed Savior. He called us to be pure then, and He is calling us to be pure now. God's standard has not changed with the times. He's not loosened the requirements of what it means to be a child of God. He's not up on the times. In fact, He's quite old-fashioned. And since He's God, I guess He can get away with it. Since He's God and He set the standard, there's nothing for us to do but accept it. We must acknowledge that it's His way or the highway. If we want to end up on the highway to hell, all we have to do is nothing. We don't have to do one thing to end up on the wide way that leads to destruction. Just keep passively watching your entertainment. Keep watching the sexually stimulating advertisements. Get lost in your violent and immoral video games. Don't blush at what you see on the internet. Just keep everything just like it is, and you are dead center in the broad way that leads to destruction. Don't even let one moment of restful slumber overtake you by thinking to yourself that you professed Christ at some point in your life, so everything is fine, you don't have to worry about anything. If you professed Christ at some point, but you still live like the world, the new covenant has not taken hold of you yet. You have made a profession with your lips only, and it has not entered your heart. We are warned at the end of the book of Revelation that no immoral person will enter the kingdom of God. So our profession must go far beyond words. It must affect our heart, and it must begin to transform our life. And that's what our lessons have been about the last few weeks. We've been talking about how to get free from sexual sin. As we have been looking closely at the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," and examining Jesus' own words on the matter, we have found that adultery is a state of the heart. It is entertaining lustful thoughts. It's being caught up in the spirit of lust. Under Jesus' definition, we find that practically everyone is very guilty of this sin, and that we need to do something radical to get out of the snare of sexual sin. The radical step we must take is to repent. Yes, that's the most radical thing we can do, and that's what real revival is. We must address the sin that's in our hearts, the sin that's in our thoughts, the sin that's in our media and our pastimes, the sin that's in our entertainment. We can't just let it go. Unconfessed sin is not covered by God's grace. Sin that we repent of is wonderfully covered by the blood of Jesus, and we can become as clean and white as snow. But if we just continue in our lustful thoughts without repenting and striving against sin, we have put ourselves outside the atonement of the blood of Jesus. Now, I know that's not where you want to be. So we've been discussing helps that can strengthen us in our fight against immorality. This is a fight to the death. Either the lust in our hearts must die, or we will die. This is very serious, and we must fight against it with all earnestness. If we casually think that we'll try to do a little bit better, that will not work. That won't work at all. It must be a no-holds-barred wrestle against the devil and against our own passionate desires. However, God will wonderfully come to the aid of anyone who sincerely desires to get clean of sin and who calls out to him with real earnestness. We're going through a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. We're going to review the last heading before moving on. If you didn't catch last week's lesson, you can go to our website. It's called Skies Revival Radio, and there you can find the previous broadcasts. Or you can get a copy of the book on Amazon or on our website. Again, it's called Through the Narrow Gate. If we truly want to get out of the tar pit of sexual sin, we must begin to take practical steps to avoid it. It is not enough to say, the Lord will have to do it because I can't. He also requires action. Faith without works is dead. Proverbs 4 and 5 say this, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by. Turn away from it and pass on. Keep your way far from immorality. Do not go near the door of her house. We have to take practical steps of avoiding sin and avoiding the things that will lead us into sin. If that means disconnecting your cable, call them today. Hallelujah. If that means throwing out your TV, so be it. Putting your gaming console in the trash, do it now. You'll find fellowship with Christ to be infinitely more stimulating. And what about the worst temptation of all, the internet? You say you can't live without it? Well, amazingly, higher forms of civilization have existed for thousands of years without it. Men have reached great heights of art and science and philosophy and religion, all without the aid of the internet. I know that seems impossible. If for some reason, such as your job, you find that it's necessary to keep the link, to keep the umbilical cord to hell, do this. Join with others who are seeking to have a consecrated life and install software which screens sexual content. Let each one install it for his brother so that each password is only known by someone else. It's a bold step that will cause your Father in heaven great delight. The next help that I want to offer you is to pray early. Do everything in your power to avoid a situation that will make you fall. But prayer before you start to be tempted will be the most effective way to accomplish this. Once you feel the powerful magnet of sex attracting you, it's almost a lost cause. Your fallen human nature will almost certainly win that battle. You will give in and find yourself miserable again for days as you feel separated from God. So you must pray before that spell is upon you, while you are still in a godly state of mind. Earnestly beseech God in the morning to help you avoid sin and to give you a shield of purity. Ask Him to make you pure in spirit. Ask Him to give you purity of eye and purity of heart. You will find supernatural help. God takes pleasure in those simple, honest prayers and knows that you can't do it yourself. And that's why Jesus came. He came to be our purity before God and then to impart His purity to us. Remember, when we receive His precious Spirit, with Him comes a new spiritual genetic code, a code that will eventually make us beautiful and clean. we will become like him, the first of many brothers, because it is promised that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. That's Philippians 1:6. To further emphasize the importance of praying early before the temptations begin is that we see a model for it in the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus, knowing our nature as he did, had no delusions of the strength of the human character, and therefore urges us to pray early. He says to ask God for help to avoid temptation. That is a lot different than the half-hearted prayer that comes once we are in the magnetic pull of sin. You know what that's like. We see some lustful image that is pulling us into sin and sinful thoughts. It's very hard to pray earnestly after we have felt that attraction. But earnest prayer while you are in God's presence will certainly bring good results. This next help is funny and very effective. Imagine what it would be like if we had a specially designed video monitor strapped on our head that displayed for all the world every thought that ran through our minds. Boy, that would make us careful, wouldn't it? Well, unfortunately for us, God has already invented that technology. Every thought of our minds is clear and openly visible to him. He knows every thought and the intent of the heart. Our innermost parts are laid bare before him. Since the Lord considers what we think to be equivalent to what we do, this should make us very careful. It is a sobering realization and helps us to monitor our thought life. Here are some more sober scriptural warnings to help us in this fight to the death to put on the righteousness of Christ. Ephesians 5:3 says, "Do not let any immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper for saints. There must be no filthiness or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 7 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Let no man transgress and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we told you and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." Now, I would like to offer some help for those who are already devastated by adultery. If perhaps you are one of the many unfortunates who have already fallen to temptation and reap the bitter consequences of adultery, what hope is there for you? Well, for starters, go through this lesson again and begin from this moment to practice the precepts of God in your daily life. It is very important for you to realize that God's purpose in creating you was to make you a good, obedient child. Many, many have learned hard lessons by sowing sin and reaping the whirlwind. If that harvest of corruption causes you to hate and fear sin, then God has turned even sin itself into his servant. Remember, it was Mary Magdalene that was the first person Jesus appeared to. He also gave us the hope of saying, "He that is forgiven much loves much." Many of the great men of the Bible have sinned in grievous ways. It has the wonderful effect of producing real humility and dependence upon God. In some people, it's a lesson that really can't be learned any other way. Don't get me wrong, we will still have to suffer the results of our sin. King David was called a man after God's own heart, and yet when he committed adultery, he was punished severely and felt the effects of it for many years. But the important thing is that he was restored to God. Because of his sorrowful repentance, God accepted him and loved him and caused even the sin to be turned to good. His son, through Bathsheba, became the greatest king of Israel, and it is his words we read now to deter us from the folly of sexual sin. That is indeed a wonderful promise. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is outside of that promise. Our loving Savior is able to turn even sin and death and Satan into tools of his mercy. So be of good cheer, strengthen your feeble knees, and begin to walk in the path of righteousness. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.